Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean-Luc Foote.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. Brandon Kravitz, your host and executive producer, here to wrap up the week of episodes. Shout out to Sean Green, another great UCF report. He's got a lot to cover these days between UCF's baseball team being ranked inside of the top 25 and the great recruiting job that Gus Malzahn is doing, and the football team gets ready for spring ball. Sean's had it covered. Those episodes drop every Tuesday morning. And then my guy Greg Rhodes with the underreported, the stories that you don't hear about on a weekly basis on sports talk radio or sports websites that you hear. We strive to give you the info and content that you desire for Central Florida sports. That's what we're all about here on the podcast. And this end of the week episode just gives you a glimpse into perhaps the hottest take of the week. And with the Magic season starting to come to a close, the regular season, and we're about to venture into uncharted waters with NBA postseason basketball and actually having expectations that this team could do something. But my hot take for this week is on what the Magic could do moving forward and what next season is going to look like, and perhaps a championship window that could be opening up, and who would actually slam that window open. We'll get to that. But I do want to remind all of you out there, this podcast is only going to grow and survive. If you like it, support it. And you can do that by sharing it on your social channels. That helps a ton. Rate the podcast, review the podcast. There are a million out there, but what we offer is unique for an Orlando sports fan that wants it all covered. UCF, Orlando City, Orlando Magic, and the underreported stories within a city that is pumping out great sports content on a regular basis. We are the sleeper cell of the sports world inside of the United States of America. So help us out when you can, and we appreciate you listening. Here's this week's Hot Takes. Only. I think at this point, 70 plus games into the season, we've got a pretty good idea of what this Magic team is. They're really good defensively. They really struggle offensively on some occasions, and usually on those occasions, they're going up against the upper echelon of the NBA. And they also really struggle against teams that are good at shooting the three ball. The Magic are something like 2-9 when their opponent makes five or more threes than they do. Almost everybody in the league makes more threes than the Magic, but where the Magic are able to shrink that overall total from their opponent is that they're really good at guarding the three-point line. So they go up against teams that are like the Warriors, that they specialize in shooting the three. There's only so much you can do. As good as you are at defending the three-point line, if there's a team that's just simply special at it, then it becomes increasingly difficult, and it becomes a math problem for the Magic, because the Magic, on the other end, don't make threes. So against those teams, the Magic have really struggled. That's where you get a 2-9 record in that sort of situation. We also know that the team is really good against subpar competition. The Magic are 26-6 this season when facing teams that rest below 500, and they're 17-25 when they play teams that are above 500. And I think when a lot of fans hear that, and I'm probably not the first person to spit out a stat like that to you, I think a lot of Magic fans
freak out. And they think, well, then that means that this team is no good, that what we're seeing is a facade or a mirage. And that is not the case. Okay, to be clear, this stat of 26-6 against teams above or below 500 and then 17-25 when playing teams that are above 500, that's not that unique. Only the Boston Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks have an above 500 record when they're playing against above 500 competition. If you look at teams that are in the Eastern Conference, only the Bucks and the Celtics. So that's the best team in the NBA that's been knocking on the door for the last 5 years in the Boston Celtics, and a team that has arguably a top three player in the entire world in Giannis Antetokounmpo. Those are the only teams in the East that are doing that. So this isn't some big indictment on the Magic that they are having trouble consistently beating teams that are above 500. Good teams in the NBA who are not great, they beat teams they're supposed to beat, and then they lose to everyone else on occasion. And they tend to lose to those teams more often than they win those games. So this is not a Magic problem. This goes for everyone. But it does tell you where the Magic are. The Magic are good. They're not great. I think that's the best way to describe this. So I'll pause right there, Tyler. There's another wrinkle to this, but I think that there seems to be some conversation of like, and we've had it on this show, of course, how much Magic basketball we talk. There's some conversation about, well, what are the Magic really? I think we know exactly what the Magic are, and what the Magic are is not that dissimilar to what the teams that are around them are. The Pacers and Knicks and Cavs are all kind of the same.
Yeah, I mean, we've said it really since, I don't know, I don't want to say all season, but since everyone's mindset about the Magic has increased, if you will, when we went from, when Orlando went from being, okay, if they make a play-in, like, that's the goal, you know, make a play-in spot and then make the playoffs, to, oh, they're fighting for the four seed. Whenever that happened, that's where I think they left that tier of the Chicagos, the Atlantas, the Brooklyns, the Torontos. They were already out of the basement. They left that tier last year. So then heading into this year, we thought they were going to be in that play-in tier. No, they've separated themselves. You know, the Magic are 9 games better than what the Hawks are in the standings. They are not in the same grouping. The Magic are closer to the grouping with the Knicks and the Cavs than what they are with the Hawks and the Bulls, and the record will reflect that. With that being said, I still think that the Magic, although they are in that tier, they're not necessarily the top team in that tier. They're still towards the bottom. And I've said it, that's okay. That's the growth of this team. That's the growing pains that we're going to see. Does it mean that the Magic can't beat those teams, whether it be in a game in the regular season or in a 7-game series in the postseason? No, absolutely not. They definitely can take out anyone in the league, especially those teams that they're bunched up with in the standings. But yeah, they've officially left that tier of the basement and the play-in scenario. The Magic are a solidified playoff team tier right now.
Well, that's the cool thing about this year is that, and I like the way that you worded that with the tiers. So if one tier is starting from the bottom is the lottery teams, and then the next tier is the play-in tier, and then the tier after that is that we're good enough to have home court advantage, probably not good enough to represent the East tier, the Cavs and the Knicks, kind of what they've been the last couple of years. And then the top tier is Boston and Milwaukee, and I'm being very generous putting Milwaukee and Boston's tier, but to just limit the number of tiers that we've got here, those are the tiers. The Magic have skipped a tier here. They were supposed to be the play-in team this year. They were the lottery team last year. That's where then they looked like they had moved past it, but we actually hadn't seen that over the entirety of a season. And so they have skipped an entire tier, which is the exciting part. But yeah, they're right in line with the people that look at that above 500 record, below 500 record. You tend to only focus on your team. So when you see that the Magic are 17-25 against above 500 competition, you're like, oh, come on. This is all phony. Okay, the Knicks are 18-27 against teams above 500 and 26-3 against teams that are below 500. It's the same. It's essentially the exact same. And the same goes for the Cavs. Only the Pacers kind of buck this trend as far as teams in that range. The Pacers are 25-20 against teams above 500, yet they're 17-13 against teams that are below 500. I'd rather be where the Magic are, where every time you're supposed to win a game, you essentially do it. And Indiana's been messing around, and that to me says you're erratic more than it's impressive.
Content creation can be a difficult thing to tackle, especially if you're on your own, you've got a business to worry about, and you need a helping hand. That's what AuthenticAudioPro.com is all about. You can reach out to me directly on social media at Brandon Kravitz across all platforms. I'm happy to help. Everything from commercial production to live endorsements on this very show. I'll even help you launch your own high-quality podcast that you can be proud of. Customizable packages are available to fit your business's needs. I'm ready to work with you to tell your story and to make you sound great in the process. Learn more at AuthenticAudioPro.com.
Yeah, and Golden State, for the record, against above 500 teams, which the Magic are one of them, 19-29 this year. So they've got their own struggles. So I know that they looked like the old school Warriors in that game, but that's not who they've been. So I would just be careful with that stat when you go spitting it out to your friends and family. So the how the rest of the season is going to play out in terms of the playoffs is going to be largely based on who they meet in the postseason. I think that there are a few of these teams, the ones that are we've listed in their similar tier. I think the Magic could just as easily beat those teams and advance to the next round. They could just as easily lose to them, hopefully make it a series, and then be out after round one. That's sort of what I see from this team. And we'll only know when we get there. Anything else would be a guessing game because we've never seen this team compete in the playoffs. We just simply don't know right now. And when the time comes, I want to be able to celebrate it properly. I don't want to worry about what the future holds. So I'm going to take this opportunity, Tyler, to tee this up right now, because when the Magic are in the playoffs, I am not having a single conversation about, ooh, what could this team be next year? We are completely going to live in the moment, but since we are at the tail end of the regular season, I am going to take a step away from the moment, and I'm going to project forward. Is that okay?
Your name's on the show, BK. You write the checks.
Well, I don't know about that last part. But we know where this team struggles. Points per game, 26th in the NBA. Fast break points, 25th in the NBA. Field goals made, 26th in the NBA. Three-pointers made, 29th in the NBA. And three-point percentage, 21st. Defense, top 10 or top 12 across the board at most of the key statistics. The team needs scoring. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but the numbers bear it out in a very, very bold and highlighted sort of a way. And there's a name out there that could be available that I think really, when I think about adding this player to the mix of the Magic roster, I don't think it's hyperbole to say they would be championship contenders with this player. And that speaks to, before I even tell you who it is, that speaks to how far this franchise has come, that I'm putting one player on this team and not busting up the lineup too much. You can eliminate one or two players, but the roster is pretty much intact, but you swap out a player in the starting lineup for this guy, and I think the Magic would be competing for a championship. And the name is Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, I was going to ask for a tease, BK, but okay.
Okay. All right. Didn't do that right. Well, I was excited to get it out there. Donovan Mitchell has been not had his best season, but I think part of him not having his best season would also lend him to become available. And I still think this is a highly skilled player. He's among the top players in the league in terms of points per game. He's only played in 51 games this year. Don't love that. But if the Magic needs scoring, then this guy could be the answer. And he spoke to the media. They asked him about why he hasn't been extended yet. And we have that cut. This is from some media availability that Donovan Mitchell had recently.
And I know how you feel about this, but I do need to ask, like, your reaction to what they said and just them putting it out.
I think the biggest thing for me is I said it before too earlier. I mean, obviously you have to ask that question, but, you know, my focus is, I got a lot of things to focus on outside of that right now, to be honest. I got to focus on myself, getting back for this group, focus on health, getting, you know, getting over the stretch, continuing to be ready when it comes time. So I'll handle that when it comes to, you know, and I understand you got to ask that question. I'm going to give you the same answer. You know, my teammates know me, you know, at the end of the day, and we're going out there trying to find ways to win the championship. And it starts with days like tonight. But yeah, I know you have to ask, so I appreciate it.
This is a guy that's going to bring it on defense. He's not a liability by any means. He can score 30 points with ease. He's averaged 28 points per game, or he averaged 28 points per game last season. He's averaging 27 points per game this season. Shoots it career wise. He's about a 37% 3-point percentage shooter. He can get to the line. He's a good teammate from what I've seen. And he's a veteran. The guy's been around the league, so it's not like there's any sort of learning curve. I think he'd be perfect. The Magic needs somebody like this. So you take Gary Harris out of the rotation, you replace that with Donovan Mitchell. With how good the Magic have been this season, could you imagine adding Donovan Mitchell to the lineup? He would erase all of your scoring problems and still keep you highly potent on defense. I think it's a perfect fit, Tyler.
I have a question for you, and it's kind of a loaded question, and I want to see what way you go with it. Is that the right move for the Magic? Because, you know, on paper, or what we think is, you bring in Donovan Mitchell, that takes the ball out of Paolo Banchero's hand. Donovan Mitchell does not play alongside Paolo as a number two. You know, that is no longer, you know, it's Paolo's team right now, and it still might be with Donovan Mitchell, but there's more of a debate there. So bringing in Mitchell, how do you see that working out? Is it a Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, 1A, 1B type of thing, or are you handing the keys to Donovan in a sense and still having Paolo progress, but now he is not as much in a marquee role?
No, I mean, to me, Paolo is still the guy, but the scoring load isn't always on his shoulders. I think Donovan Mitchell's a really good facilitator too. So he would be there to kind of get your offense going and to make life easier on Paolo. Part of the reason Paolo has work to do offensively, I think sometimes he struggles in those ISO situations of really, sometimes it seems like there's some indecision on what kind of move he wants to make. He deals with double teams all the time, and the three ball isn't there. Donovan Mitchell would help alleviate so many problems, and mostly the double team issue. So I definitely wouldn't want to take the shine off of Paolo as a star, but I would view it a little bit like you could treat Paolo the way that the Suns treat Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's still the star of that team, but Devin Booker's got the ball in his hands. He's the primary ball handler on that team. In today's NBA, everybody's got to be able to handle the ball. Everybody's got to be able to shoot. It's not like Paolo's the only guy that handles the rock on offense. So I wouldn't let that hold me back. You know, hopefully he'd be able to handle that ego-wise. But I think Paolo just wants to win. So I don't think he'd fret too much over that.
Is there any concern in your head about the disruption of the flow of the offense, if you will? Because again, you bring in Donovan Mitchell, Paolo is getting less touches. That's how that works, and that he might be okay with that. You know, like, it's not, we're not going to assume there's any ego thing that we have no idea if it'll be there or not. But one thing we do know, he gets less touches. It is out of his hands more often to initiate and create the offense for the team. When that happens, sometimes egos do come into play, and it's, okay, I need to go get mine. And not like I don't feel I'm making a factor in this game because he's taking that decrease of a role. Are any concerns in that department as far as players starting to force more because there's another scorer in town? They're getting less touches. They need to make the most of theirs.
So no, I don't have that concern. And I think this season has shown us that even without that player present,
they still, this team, one of their biggest problems on offense is they overshare the basketball. If anything, they're the perfect team to add a player that is as confident a scorer as Donovan Mitchell is, because you've got a bunch of guys on here that are happy to defer. If Paolo was the kind of guy that said, I'm going to get mine and we'll see how that goes, you'd be seeing it right now. There's nothing holding him back from being that guy in this offense. So why would he then all of a sudden want to ramp that up when you have someone that can actually score with some potency? I don't think that's a problem at all. Seeking out podcast production just like this? Check out Authentic Audio Productions by visiting our website, AuthenticAudioPro.com. We specialize in audio production of any kind, commercials, live endorsements, and podcast production. We can make you sound this good and help you tell your story. Let Authentic Audio be your guide. Follow the show. Keep up on Facebook by becoming a certified Zonehead. Also on Instagram, at Zoneheads Orlando, and on YouTube. Thanks so much for checking out this week's episodes. Continue to let the internet know that we're out here. Follow us, rate us, review us. We greatly appreciate it. Done for the week. Chat soon, Zoneheads.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.